Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. As the man says, I am Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to the show. Happy New Year. If it's still lingering for you, well, you need to get on with it. It's January, what, 16th, 17th today? Time to think about big concepts in healing. I want to see if we can put together some major concepts. I'm going to use a lot of words that many of you who listen to the show regularly will understand, but I want to piece them all together now to give you a deeper insight in the event that you can take action. Take action in what way? Well, we all have this interest today in holistic medicine, herbal medicine, things to do for your health, health practices, so on and so forth. And if you're evolved enough or along your path in an evolved enough way, meaning it's not new to you, you know how it is when you meet some people and organic food is a new concept and you've been going to farmers markets for 25 years. I'm talking about if you've evolved along your path for a decade or two, there's an understanding that you need to have, and that is that as you prioritize your health choices, the things you spend your money on in health, at the top of the list should be the number one concept. And that number one concept we're going to discuss today under the term geopathic stress. Geopathic stress. It says in the tradition that's resulted in the American market for herbal medicine, for all the things you do for your health, in that tradition, those traditions, if you trace these practices back, put geopathic stress as the number one place you would put your focus. And what that means is your health, your wealth, your prosperity, your ability to resist cancer, disease, age slowly, make your dreams come true, all in one big bundle, was first and foremost related to where you lived, where you put your feet. Could you align yourself with the Earth's dynamic energy? Now, what that means today is a new field in science, in that certainly, as some of us know, the biochemical plane is going to give way in this century to the bioelectric plane. Biochemistry will be superseded, as it already is, by biophysics. And that biophysical way of looking at the world will vindicate. It will bring to the forefront what our ancestors understood. Thus, today's show, beginning with an insight into the Vikings, what the Vikings knew about the world and about health. Two cultures in Europe, close to many of the audience's traditions, ethnicities, were the Scandinavians and the Highlanders. Both these cultures understood how to plant their feet in the earth and where to plant their feet in the earth and how to build their homes. And they were granted many of the benefits and many of the gifts to their health that followed with those traditions. So we've got the guys that built Stonehenge. And then we've got the guys that sailed across the Atlantic in 800-900 AD, long before Columbus, long before the classic known European world even speculated that you could do that. The Vikings were doing it a good 600, 700 years earlier. And we have to respect why. What were these people taking in from the stars? This is pre-Christianity. When Stonehenge went up, it was well before the advent of Christ. There's no argument about that. And what Stonehenge represented, well, there is much argument about that. Stonehenge, if you don't know, is that huge megalith. It's this amalgam of stones, to put it simply, in England, representing what? Well, nobody really knows. But what we do know is that the ancients understood by a way of living how to situate themselves in the earth after they sensed it. And that sensation to the earth was, in a sense, what their religion was based on. It was a life's choice based upon a relationship to what they sensed coming out of the soil. And this has been euphemized in many of the sayings. For instance, in Eastern Europe, there's a maxim that says, build your barn where the door, where the dog lies. Build your barn where the dog lies. It means when you push the frontier into a virgin territory of land, take your life savings, your dowry, whatever you have, to plant your feet into the soil. You have a choice to make, and that's a big choice. Now think about that. Think about that today relative to renting an apartment or buying a home. Think about how one, the earlier one, the one that basically, the success of which hedged on the fact that if you put your feet into the earth and grew your soil, grew your farm, whatever you grew to survive upon, your very sustenance, and you made the wrong choice, meaning your relationship with the earth, your judgment, whatever you used to decide where you were going to sow your seed was defective. It could mean the end of you. So really, you are hard-pressed to develop a sensibility, a sensitivity to how to garner from the earth little signs and signals. And out of that comes these euphemisms like, build your barn where the dog lies. Meaning animals know where the fertile fruits live. Now if you, from the standpoint of anthropology, begin to study tribes, cultures that have to have exquisite sensitivities to the earth, and that their survival, their prosperity depends upon it. The nomadic cultures. The Vikings were nomadic. Ancient times, there was populations that were much more nomadic than even agrarian. You know how it is on the freeway? When there's less cars, it's better. Everybody kind of spreads out. People in an elevator. If there's two people in an elevator, they separate. Given any space and any living population, the natural order, the natural energetic order is to spread out and allow for space. When the fertility of the earth and a minimal population were combined thousands of years ago, we didn't have agrarian cultures. They were more oriented towards nomadic culture because the earth could afford nomadic culture. The earth could sustain a nomadic existence, and a nomadic existence meant pick up stakes, smell the fragrance in the wind, and put your feet in the earth and get really, really good at doing that. Because if you made a mistake on a new space, it could be fatal. On the other hand, if you could do that, if you could master that, then you could have wonderful things. Now, you should be able to take that today all the way to the cancer wards at Kaiser. That's no small leap, admittedly. But if you think about it, when we have a body in disease, when a cell goes aberrant, when its physiology collapses, when that cell goes apoptotic, senescent, or malignant, we can play around with all the biochemistry we want till the end of time. But just as sure as I'm doing this show today, that biochemical model is presently being replaced by a biophysical one. The biochemical shift What we call the bad food we ate and the bad air we breathed, so on and so forth, is simply a secondary manifestation of an energetic shift, something in the world of the electron, the proton, the neutron, something in the world of the magnetic field to which your cell is exposed to is not working for the cell. The electrical magnetic field of the cell is defective to the point where it creates a biochemical change, and that biochemical change causes an adaptation of the cell. And that adaptation of the cell goes after your genetic defect. And your genetic effect, under the weight of that biochemical driven by electromagnetic shift, produces your symptom and ultimately your disease. If you can understand that, welcome 2015 with open arms. Truly do that for yourself. Now, what does that mean for you? It means where you plant your feet at night, in your home, your apartment, the house you bought, the house you're leaving, the city, state, country you live in, the clothes you wear, all really matter because they control that magnetic field. So let's go all the way back for a moment or two, just to give you some of the anthropology, and then we're going to give you some of the science, and then we're going to piece it together. All right, here's a book, picture number two. If you're new to the show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc, and look at the pictures. Go to the shows. Today's show 191. We started the show in April of 2011. It's now January of 2015. That's 191 shows. You've got it all covered in those shows, 191 hours from soup to nuts. Go to picture number two. Picture number two. Geopathic Stress, Eva St. Clair, Peter Carlton. Great book. Don't know if it's around anymore. Geopathic Stress, probably on Amazon somewhere. Another book, picture number one. Geopathic Stress, How Earth Energies Affect Our Lives, Jane Terrell Reed. This stuff's out there. Now go to picture number three. I'll read a little bit to you from picture number three. This is out of the first book there by Sinclair. Ancient Knowledge of Earth's Radiation. Harmful Earth Rays. Now, what is this about Earth rays, harmful? What nonsense is this? Very simple. Proven. Can't be argued with as far as the Earth's core is metal, and that metal spins at about 10,000-11,000 miles an hour. When you take tons and tons and tons of metal, gazillion amounts, and spin it at 10,000-11,000 miles an hour, it generates a magnetic field. Done. That's what we're talking about. So harmful Earth rays, known as geopathic stress, are a natural phenomenon as old as the planet Earth. Now we start to get in. Again, I'm reading from one page out of this book that we placed in square number two. I'm on square number three. The Chinese knew these Earth's rays could be harmful. They avoided building houses over stressed areas. The laws of the times required careful dousing. Now, dousing is not a Chinese thing exclusively. Notice we just introduced the word dousing. We were talking about ancient China dousing. There's a lot of guys with kilts out there running around Europe dousing today. And back when Stonehenge went up, believe me, they were dousing. What is dousing? Remember the maxim, build your barn where the dog lies? An old farmer's tale, all those farmer's tales? Coming out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of experience where it all matters, because if you make a mistake, you, your family starve. From those traditions came understandings that nature was something to be sensed, something you had to develop your relationship with. And dousing, you know that thing with the prong, those wooden prongs that you douse for water with? Right, you understand dousing. Some people were known as dousers. Lots of your homeopaths today, those vibrational doctors, Hahnemann, lots of medical doctors, especially in Europe, get into homeopathy. They're all derived from dousing. Dousing was a spiritual exercise in which you sensed, well, where water was. But you could douse to sense where anything was. And, of course, this is subjective, non-scientific, a lot of nonsense, garbage, idiocy. And, yes, in fact, it did encourage a lot of idiocy. Much of what comprises any of these esoteric practices includes a lot of idiocy. But what you don't know, that I will assure you, is that so does science. Idiocy is everywhere. It's true that the intention of science was to remove idiocy. It didn't succeed. Many of the world's leading idiots are scientists. Only look to your common sense to tell you that what I just said is true. But that aside, and this is a particular peeve for me, my own field is filled with idiocy. So when we talk about dousing, yes, of course. But then there's the other side of it. And the other side of it is here to redeem you. It's part of your own personal resurrection. In that, developing relationship with the earth allows you at a certain point to feel those magnetic fields that come out of the earth that do something for you. And you've all had an experience of this. You've all had an experience of going out into nature and putting your feet in the earth. And when you do that, you assume it's nature. You call it nature. You compare and you contrast it with the office that you're in, the house that you're in, the highway that you're on. You look at trees and the blue sky and the quiet and the animals, and you say, I'm in nature. Wrong. You're dead wrong. You're really wrong. It's not that you're in nature. It's that your feet are in the earth. You got to get that one. When your feet, your naked feet, are in the naked earth, the magnetic fields spinning off that liquid core at 10,000 miles an hour go into your body. Now, that's for openers, but there's your personal exercise. Don't take the walk on the beach and listen to all this about the negative ions and it's calming and soothing. Don't do it from that standpoint. Understand that when you're in your backyard, in your crowded apartment, and your feet are in the naked earth, there's a connection there between those fields up through your legs, and we'll discuss that, into that hypothalamus, back down out the other leg, and you're beginning to strengthen that circulation. Because your magnetic field up in your hypothalamic pituitary pineal axis is resonant with the one coming out of the earth. To feel that is a huge thing. I live by this code. And it has served me very well. And let's keep going. Harmful earth radiation. A little bit further down. They never found harmful earth rays under any early inhabited sites of people who knew the ancient art of earth radiation. There are many cultures which understood earth energies, ancient to modern Chinese, Neolithic villages in the Orkneys. The Orkneys are little islands. I believe it's off the coast of Ireland. Ireland, northern England, I'm not sure which. But off those northern waters into the North Sea, Neolithic villages, you bet they understood it. Bronze Age villagers located in Great Britain and in Europe, the native Indians. I'm going to quote some of the Indians, Black Elk, talking about how when the white man came to America and forced the Indian into a shoe and out of a circular teepee and into a square rectangular log cabin, the chiefs at the time, being on the verge of their own historical cataclysm, would come together and talk about these changes and how moving from the circle to the square was death. Going from the bare, wide Indian foot into the soil, and into then a shoe was death. Taking feet spread wide into the fertile earth of North America and stuffed into a shoe, collapsing the foot, strangling the arch, deforming the feet, was bondage and servitude, and would surely destroy them and make them go insane. These statements have been written into the historical records as espoused by American Indian chiefs in the 1700s, so on and so forth. Now, what does this mean to you today? Let's read on before we draw conclusions. First, you got to get the data. Let's go to page 4. Picture number 4, square number 4. Here's a fascinating one. And again, once you click the square, you should be able to blow it up. That's control plus, or put your finger on the keyboard and spread two fingers out to blow it up. If you can't do that, I've got at the top those links, the links on the ancient Vikings. I put this in a PDF form for you. Either way, and even if you can't, sit back, just listen. Reading square 4, the most well-known European people to recognize geopathic stress appear to be the Vikings. These people were extraordinarily healthy. Do you know today the strongmen competitions of the world are still consistently won by the Scandinavians? It's not the African Americans. It's not the Eastern Europeans. It's not the South Americans. It's not the Chinese. It's not the Indians. It's the Vikings. And anybody that's ever been to Iceland, that's met some of these people. Again, the Vikings across Iceland, Norway, Sweden, Finland. But the stories of supermen in the tradition in Reykjavik, in Iceland, are legendary. If you've ever traveled there and met some of these people, I tell you, you're certain they come from another race. And stories like this abound. The, what is it? The Weston Price. The Weston Price books have one article. I have it at my office. Talking about the Highlanders. The Highlanders were the Scotsmen. If you've seen Braveheart. The ancient Scots were studied by the medical community in the 1800s because they were aghast. They were in disbelief of their ability to heal, to go to battle, to have arms cut, I mean chunks of flesh severed that would soon to become septicemic and result in a rapid death. And the Vikings would heal up in absolutely no time. And they became so famous for this that doctors all over the world came to study what they did. Well, I'll tell you what they did. They did the same things that the Vikings did. They evolved from a culture that had the sensitivity to the Earth's electromagnetic fields and learned to live in union with them. So I don't need to sit here and talk to you about the ancient Indians and the Chinese and the American Indians. In addition, and you should study them, but in addition, understand that the very roots of you come from traditions that lived very differently and profited enormously in ways we need to profit today. We will rot in the basements at Kaiser of diseases that we never should have had, not even a touch of in the first place. This should be your resolution for 2015, to begin to get closer to the earth. Now, what does that mean? We'll get there. Check this out. The small nation colonized and ruled much of northern Europe between 8 and 1100 AD. The Vikings strongly influenced trade, law, craft, sea transport. Just a little bit down, the Vikings did this, meaning countered unhealthy geopathic stress. Unhealthy. So what are we talking about? There are places where the Earth's energies work for you and where they don't. Today, where they work for you, we call them good vortexes. Mount Shasta, Machu Picchu in Peru, healthy vortexes. Unhealthy vortexes, I've got a square on the show there down lower, vile vortexes. Bermuda Triangle is a vile vortex. It's a bad place. Well, the Vikings, understanding this, constructed dolmens. I'll show you a picture of a dolmen. The Vikings did this, and I'm reading on that page 4, left-hand side, down a little. The Vikings did this by constructing dolmens, ancient burying mounds, in exact triangular patterns. In most cases, the Vikings placed three large standing stones with an extra-large stone resting on top. The stone was lined up with remarkable precision, with the other top stones to form a triangle about 40,000. Now, here's the point. About 40,000 such dolmens were constructed in Denmark and several thousand in Sweden. Fairly recent dowsing tests reveal that these dolmens attracted harmful earth rays, leaving the area within neutralized. Now, look, you can cut this any way you want, but these dolmens were there. These were not stupid people. They are your own roots. And they did remarkable things. The Highlanders did remarkable things. The Vikings had remarkable health, grew to remarkable size, had remarkable strength. Today, win all the strongman contests across the board. So they did something remarkable. And they were doing something odd, eccentric, thus the dolmen. And whether the dolmen did this, that, or the other thing, or was constructed correctly or incorrectly, we know today the Earth is an electrical organism. Its core is generating magnetic fields, and those magnetic fields are resonant with our minds. Look at picture number 5. That's a dolmen. That is a dolmen. No, that is not Stonehenge. Stonehenge looks very different than that. That's a dolmen. First of all, how did they get it there? How did they get it there? This is an ancient dolmen. This didn't go up yesterday. How did this get up there? These are the questions we don't ask. You can take this straight to the Sphinx, straight to the Pyramid at Giza. Archaeology's got a million stupid answers. None of them make sense to engineering or architecture. This is a central problem in understanding ancient megalithic stonemasonry. How did this thing get up there? How did it get balanced with such precision? Why was it put in places that today's best electromagnetic technologies tell us is at some sort of center of energy, good or bad? What were they doing there? Why were they? Was this a stupid trend? Do you think these people had time to engage in stupid trends? That's a dolmen, picture number 5. Picture number 6, I had to put that in there, dog tricks. These are things that we could teach our dogs. I think that's kind of stupid. I think it ought to be about tricks that our dogs could teach us. I think we should watch our dogs and our cats and our animals and learn from them. But that's man, isn't it? Let's keep going. Look at picture number 8. Picture number 8. The great circle of life is the circle of unity with all things in the universe, including the Great Spirit. This is the American Indian. We are all equal in the circle. So they're talking about the teepee. Remember the yurt? Remember the whirling dervish? They're saying that one of the aspects of the Earth's electromagnetic grid is that it moves in swirls. And that if you live in the same swirl, you will be affected. Let me tell you this. For those of you who can sense it, and then for those of you who think this is hooey and can't, well, you'll get it someday. When you walk into a house, that's what we call an energetic mess, meaning instead of the house being a circle, and no one's house is a circle, instead of it at least being a certain type of a square or a certain type of a rectangle, it's like a labyrinth. It's a bunch of eccentric, odd little rooms, pathways, courts that don't connect in any way to a coherence. Ladies, I beg of the ladies always, because their intuitive faculties are a little quicker to the mark. Discontinuity. The city of Malibu, where I lived for 14 years, far away from the coast because of what I'm about to define, was a horrible place energetically to live. It was horrible. The Chumash called Malibu a graveyard. The Chumash said anyone living in Malibu would have a hard life. I concur. I never did, therefore. I went up into the mountains. Malibu is situated in a way that's extremely uncomfortable because there's never a coherent center. You can never get centered. On one side is the ocean sucking energy out of you. Yes. Water bodies to the west or south pull energy away from you. And on the other side is that mountain range towering up high, so you're crushed. Haven't you ever noticed living at the foot of a valley? Beverly Glen, any canyon, Laurel Canyon. Don't you get that sick feeling when you drive through those canyons and you look at these homes at the bottom? High up on one side, high up on the other. That is death. They are not good places to live. They are energetic dungeons. If you live there, move. That's my advice to you. Yes, there's ways to neutralize it. Everybody's got a version of it, if you're even into it. If you're not, well, then your risks are no greater than the mudslide that will swallow you eventually, and hopefully not, right? But people that are pseudo-energetic will talk about all sorts of ways to neutralize it and this and that and the other thing. Don't live there. Trust your gut. So this concept is everywhere if you take a look at it. Here's a quote from the American Indian tradition talking about the benefit of being in the circle. Think of the circle and the coherence of the circle and the we are all related, the unity that comes from the circle. And that includes unity with the Mother Earth, because the swirls of magnetism coming out of the core of the Earth go in circular fashions, that the body can accommodate living in a circle, and it creates a shift. If you've ever been in a yurt, it is an absolutely energizing experience. One of my next moves will undoubtedly be into nature and into the yurt, into the circle. It's just an indispensable part of life. Get yourself a piece of land and build in a circle. And this is what I encourage you to do, especially if you're sick. Experiment with it, especially if you're sick. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Where should we go here? All right, let's go to picture number 7. Now, let's introduce a concept. Let's introduce a concept to these harmful, to these good rays. Actually, let's do it this way. This is a better way to do it. Let's look at picture number 19. Let's go to picture number 19. Earth's magnetic field. Let's just put that in your head. That inner core of the Earth generating a north and a south pole and magnetic fields that go out thousands of miles outside the Earth. Now, these are going to be very subtle. These things are not even going to move a compass sometimes at a certain distance. But nonetheless, they've been measured. Trust that one. Now, look at picture 20. Picture number 20 is talking about Schumann resonance. Schumann resonance. S-C-H-U-M-A-N-N. The discharges out in the ionosphere, the electrical discharges from lightning out in the ionosphere, send magnetic fields towards the Earth. You want to catch that. Towards the Earth. We have two magnetic fields. We have the magnetic fields generating from the Earth. So this is where we're going to get conceptual now. Critically conceptual. We have magnetic fields generating from the core of the Earth, all measurable. We have magnetic fields measured as Schumann waves, generated from out in the ionosphere, discharges from lightning. And the magnetic fields coming from the discharges in lightning out in the ionosphere are talking to the magnetic fields emanating from the core of the Earth. Think about that. If that doesn't catch you, I don't know what will. I mean, the implications of that are profound if you really take that into yourself. Are you healing in an apartment? Are you healing in a megalith, a Faraday cage of steel and stone, high-heated concrete. It's almost ludicrous that you would do that. It's almost ludicrous that you would spend your money on herbs to be left encased in a Faraday cage, meaning synthetic steels, synthetic concretes, grids of steel and concrete that block you from this unity between the Earth's natural magnetic field and the Schumann wave. Now here's the concept. This is what you can take to the bank. Human being, Homo sapien, you and me and everybody else, healthy people and sick people, old and young, are conduits. We are conduits between the Earth's fields and the Schumann wave. More than that, we are transducers. Transducers. A transducer takes a current and builds its voltage. It builds its power. Human beings are transducers, potentially transducers. Now, I want you to get this. Hypothalamus, pineal, pituitary, meridians, open the meridians, stretch the tendons, cleanse the blood, pump the hypothalamic, pituitary, pinealian intelligences, the ventricular system, no, not nonsense. Hard science. Build that within yourself to do what? To magnify the confluence between the Earth's magnetic fields and the Schumann resonance in your body. Now hook that up into the potential of each and every organ of your body to deliver greater numbers of stem cells from the bone marrow to the sacrum to the organ itself. Are you getting that coherence now? The Earth's magnetic field in combined with the Schumann wave. Go to picture number 22. There's the ionosphere. Look at the bottom where you see lightning. Lightning. This is what we're trying to say. That the lightning discharge creates a magnetic field, and that magnetic field drops down upon our sacred earth. Into what? Into you? No, not into you. Not into you in your high-heated concrete, your lousy plaster. Not into your garbage synthetic apartment or home or track home. Into you if you're sleeping in a yurt. Poppycock. Absurd. Nonsense. No scientific finding. Have you ever considered that your entire education was one long list of misdeception, of misdirection, of pointing you to things that weren't important? What's wisdom? Isn't wisdom every decade you realize that a certain amount of all the prior decades were just wasted energy? Isn't that what we call wisdom? Your average 20-year-old is looking. We're being taught to look in the wrong places for the things we want. So maybe it's not poppycock. Maybe, really, the number one thing you can do for your health this year is go live in a yurt. Go live in a wood cabin. Sleep with nothing but natural fiber between you and the fertile earth. Impossible. I'm sorry, it's not impossible. It's like dirt cheap to do that. If you're sitting on an inheritance of $50,000, you can rent, you can buy property and put up a yurt. You can go rent cabins a half an hour, 40 minutes outside of Los Angeles. You can go into hotel rooms today that are still built 80, 90 years ago, that are still built. You can experience what it feels to be closer to the earth and outside of this new sickly architecture. We are growing ourselves in plastic electromagnetic bubbles. And this is very problematic. This is in direct conflict with what we really are, which is transducers between the Earth's electromagnetic fields and the Schumann resonances. Now, how are we succeeding in screwing this up? Well, go to the... I guess I didn't put it on here, but go to picture number 15. Go to picture 15. Picture 15, that's a Gauss meter. That's the 4180 Gauss meter from a company called F.W. Bell. Google up F.W. Bell. F.W. Bell is a company that makes electrical equipment that will sense magnetic fields from what? From the Earth? No. Magnetic fields, well, go to picture 16. Let's get this magnetic field thing straight. If you take a wire and you run electricity, meaning you push electrons at a voltage through a metal wire, a copper wire generally. If you push electrons through a copper wire, it will generate a magnetic field. That magnetic field will move a magnet. It's first and foremost why we knew it was a magnetic field. Those magnetic fields and our magnetic fields don't work. Meaning when we're in the presence of those things, we're injured. That's really important to understand. It means your cell phones. It means your computers. Now, this isn't new to most of you. What might be new is that you can buy a machine to measure when you're in the presence of this. If I travel and go to a hotel, that hotel is scanned before I get there. I have one of these. I have a number of these. They're called Gauss meters. They cost $300. You should have one when you buy a car. You should have one when you rent an apartment. You should have one when you buy a house. You should have one when you go into a hotel. You should have one when you pay for a conference in a restaurant and spend top dollar to get someone to sign the deal. You should have one because you're going to give a presentation that you've worked long and hard on, a dissertation perhaps, and you're going to need the energy of the earth pumping your hypothalamus to push your ability to articulate, to stay coherent when it counts, only to find if you've got a Gauss meter that often what you're doing is presenting, what you're doing is trying to thrive under the burden and weight of magnetic fields that run contrary to your magnetic field. Cell phones cause brain tumors. Titanium implants in the mouth. Within the month, I promised Dr. Aguilera, my most beloved dentists, will come on the show, and we're going to do a series on dentistry. We are going to tear it up. He's preparing himself now because it's going to be rough to get through this with me. I have a thing about dentists. And I won't comment as to what that means. He'll be coming on the show soon. And we'll be talking about titanium in the mouth. To see if it's true or not true. To see if it's hocus pocus or not. The titanium implant instead of the ceramic implant. Later for that, the point is, often what we've done is put ourselves together with metal on the body, in encasements based on the way we build our homes that collectively prevent us from receiving the Earth's energies and then pollute us by generating these toxic magnetic fields. Great. How do you know where you are? Get a Gauss meter. Get a Gauss meter. There's part of your answer. Let's keep going here. What is healing about? Well, in Vedic medicine, in Chinese medicine, I think in any medicine worth its salt, you find a vortex. Somewhere in the world, you will find a vortex. A vortex will be often at an intersection of what we call ley lines. L-E-Y lines, ley lines. I thought I had a reference to ley lines that I put here. I guess I didn't. L-E-Y. You can look them up yourself. Ley lines. Ley lines represent an intersection of the Earth's magnetic fields that are good for you. The ley lines across the planet all hook up. So Machu Picchu will hook up with London, will hook up where they built the Sphinx, will hook up somewhere else in the world. There is an intersection of where the Earth concentrates its good energies. There are intersections of where the Earth concentrates its bad energies. Go to picture number 25. Go to picture number 25. North Pacific Gyres. Picture number 25. In the middle of these circles, don't be found. In the middle of these circles are not good places. These are the cesspool sump pumps. These are the energetic drains. These are places where all the ships and planes go down. These are places that just feel weird. These are places like the Bermuda Triangle. It's not just the Bermuda Triangle. There's something going on in the Bermuda Triangle. You know, I always make this analogy, and you should really take this into yourself. If I was doing this show at a marketplace in 1470, somewhere in Italy, introducing a guy named Christopher Columbus, making the claim that the Earth was not flat, that you weren't going to go out on a Nina, a Pinta, or a Santa Maria into the Atlantic and fall off, you'd have 95% of the known world throwing stones at us. I mean, you got to think about that. You got to stop this race. Yeah, worry about terrorism and all these other things that are going to take us, the Ebola virus, the HIV virus. Worry about all those things and forget what I just said. In 1470, we could all congregate and talk about the possibility that the Earth was not flat and find that 95% of the world was against us. And this is the way you have to understand this. We did it as late as 1960. Where you couldn't gather a bunch of researchers together and say, look, it's obvious. I mean, the data is not sacrosanct yet, but it's obvious. Cigarettes cause cancer. And in the face of the AMA, as your average medical doctor endorsing cigarette smoke, claiming that there was nothing substantial to create a link between smoking cigarettes and death because our movie stars like Angelina Jolie did it, it just couldn't be happening again. It's always happening. There's something going on in the Bermuda Triangle. Honestly, you're an idiot if you don't get that. And honestly, I think you're a little naive. I don't want to say idiot. It's just not the right thing to say. But it's the way I feel on a certain level. How can you not understand that rather than putting your feet into the earth in a space where you should build your barn, we're living in places like this map that are sump pumps for energy that pull it out of us, that don't allow us because we're encased in a Faraday cage. That means modern buildings, modern shoes, modern synthetic clothes, plastic, high-heated concrete, rhubarb, high-heated steel planks. Don't allow the Earth's electromagnetic field nor the Schumann wave to influence the health of our body. And in certain parts around the world, it's a million times worse. And that's what this picture is. This picture is stating that basically you have areas throughout the world where life is not going to feel good. And you have to be aware of that. The Vikings were aware of that, thus the dolmen. Now, the flip side of that is, well, look at picture number 26 also. Take a look at picture 26. 10 vile vortexes around the world. Devil's Triangle. Something around Hawaii. The Bermuda Triangle. Somewhere in Algeria. Around the Indus River. Near Pakistan. The Loyalty Islands. The Easter Islands, so on and so forth. Look at that, 10 vile vortexes. Vile, as in don't go there. It's bad. It is bad. It doesn't feel good. Really, if your body's trained in any relationship to the earth, when you go there, you're going to feel something creepy. As opposed to, now go to picture number 28. These are the good vortexes. Glastonbury, Mount Shasta, in Maui. Yeah, Maui, I know Maui. I go and vacation there. It's a lot of fun. Get away from the stress of my job. No. Where we put our churches, where we put the places, the biggest, most renowned churches, are always on ley lines. The White House, or the Capitol, I forget which, is on a ley line. Monuments that accumulate power, if you trace their history, are just retreads from one culture to the next, meaning where we have, say, Notre Dame, the Vatican. The Vatican in Rome, long before the time of Christ, that was still a sacred site. The Vatican was put there purposely. Stonehenge was put there purposely. It doesn't matter who's on Mount Shasta. Every culture has understood Mount Shasta as a spiritual place. And so on and so forth. And this is the way you have to understand the earth. The earth can either, through a series of ley lines, an intersection of ley lines. And if you look at this picture here, again, right now we're on picture number 26. Excuse me, picture number 28. All those lines connecting Mount Shasta to Lake Titicaca, all the way up to Mount Fuji, all the way through Urula and Kata, all the way to Mount Kailas, so on and so forth, all the way to Glastonbury in England. These connections are all part of an electromagnetic grid coming off the earth. Go there. Go there. Feel those places. Take trips to them. Get a sense of this. Get a sense of this. Now, here's the point. You have to train yourself to get a sense of them. Your sugar eating, sodium ridden. Sugar eating, sodium ridden. Toxic. Sedentary. Overly materialistic, average person, bound in an electromagnetic cage, 6 days a week, enslaved to his job, is not training themselves to feel any of this. Could you at least consider that? Your friends, your family, who don't understand any of the authenticity here today, are not in a position to. They are feeling, I didn't say see, feeling their world through very jaded sunglasses. Because they're not training. They don't have a health practice. They don't have sensitivity. And when they do, it's in a fleeting moment and then it's gone. It's not a way of life. It's just an occasional intermittent inspiration. And we all celebrate it and write books about it. But really what we're talking about are cultures that understood how to train one's being through a health practice to be able to utilize the energies from the earth. This is where it's at for health. If you're sick, if you're spinning, if you have no concept, if you're sick and tired of taking herbs and going nowhere, and you want a health practice, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. You make an appointment here, and we'll create a health practice if you can wrap your mind around it. If you're coming for a quick fix, go somewhere else. I don't have quick fixes. I teach people health. I teach them health because it works. I teach them health because despite being in school for 20 years, despite the fact that I'll be well into my 50s before I'm out of school, despite all this devotion to science, despite wanting to take science to whatever this esoteric stuff is about, I don't see people really heal unless they develop a refined health practice. It's just that America is not quite there yet. But if you listen to this show, you are way ahead of the curve. So 714-850-1007. So what does this all come down to? It all comes down to stretch your tendons, clean your blood, work your adhesions out, then do the single most important thing that you're going to do. You're going to do it now, you're going to do it later. Hopefully you're going to do it before you pass on. You're going to deal with all the ache and pain in your soul. You're going to shake it out. Somewhere along the line in your health practice, you're going to shake it out. And as you shake it out, you're going to become resonant. You're going to become sensitive to what's coming out of the earth. You're going to become sensitive to what's up there in the sky. And you're going to start to transduce, magnify the effect of what's coming out of the earth and join it with what's coming out of the sky. And you're going to do it on a vortex. And you're going to live a way where nothing blocks it. No person, no place, no thing, no thought. And then you're going to see the miracles. Because that is how God intended it to be. And if we're all in this together, we're all in this together that way, which is extremely different than how we're going to be on Monday morning, isn't it? Isn't it extremely different than how we're going to be on Monday morning? So this is my New Year's show to you. Happy 2015. Connect to this. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. One more time, 714-850-1007. Let's get your head on straight. See you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.